Close to 400,000 civilians are trapped in the Syrian city of Eastern Ghouta, outside of Damascus. The Syrian government continues to bomb that area, backed by Russian aircraft. A British monitoring group says that more than 500 people have been killed over an eight-day period, and that after a large explosion on Sunday, medical personnel reported seeing symptoms consistent with chlorine gas. The violence continues despite two separate ceasefires, one passed by the United Nations, another one called by Russia. Raf Sanchez is Middle East correspondent for the Daily Telegraph newspaper. Raf, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
What do we know about these latest attacks?
The Syrian regime and its Russian allies have been bombarding Eastern Ghouta for more than a week now. It's a rebel-held suburb of Damascus that the Assad regime would dearly like to take back. On Saturday night, the United Nations Security Council unanimously called for a 30-day nationwide ceasefire across all of Syria. All members of the Security Council, including Russia, voted for it. But yesterday, Vladimir Putin announced that instead of the ceasefire as designed by the UN, he was going to implement ceasefire of his own, which was going to last every day for 5 hours between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. and falls far short of the demands made by the UN Security Council.
And those ceasefires, either the UN ceasefire or the one imposed by Vladimir Putin, have they had any discernible effect?
So the United Nations ceasefire did not. It was voted for Saturday night, but with no specific timeline for when it should come into force. Vladimir Putin made his announcement yesterday to begin on Tuesday, today. And we have heard from people in Ghouta today that the intensity of the bombardment has been way down. There have been fewer airstrikes. There have still been artillery barrages, which clearly is a violation of the ceasefire. But it's had some impact on lessening the suffering there.
Has that five-hour reprieve, to the extent that it's been enforced, given people the opportunity to move? Can anyone get out of the city?
So the Russians announced that they were setting up what they call humanitarian corridors, which are pathways for civilians to leave Eastern Ghouta and come into regime-held areas. People on the opposition side will tell you that these corridors, which were used in Aleppo during the 2016 siege, are basically a cynical ploy by the Russians, that they open up these so-called corridors, say that civilians are free to leave, and then when civilians don't come out, they blame the rebel groups and say, see, the rebels are holding civilians essentially as human shields and refusing to let them come to safety. So far today, we haven't seen much evidence of anybody coming out of the humanitarian corridors.
Raf, meanwhile, I mentioned some eyewitness reports consistent with chlorine gas being used in Eastern Ghouta. Any confirmation of that? What are eyewitnesses, doctors, medical personnel saying?
So doctors are saying that the symptoms that they're seeing in terms of trouble breathing, in terms of eye dilation, is consistent with chlorine gas. We know that the Syrian regime has used chlorine and other chemical weapons repeatedly during the seven-year war in Syria. It's very difficult to confirm these things in the midst of fighting, when international experts aren't able to get to the scene. The Russian Defense Ministry has said that it believes the rebels may have deliberately launched the chemical weapons attack on civilians in their own population as a way of blaming it on the Syrian regime and potentially trying to lure Western powers into intervening to punish the Syrian regime for chemical weapons use.
Meanwhile, the United States seems squarely focused on the north of Syria, where U.S. allied factions in Turkey and Kurds are fighting one another. The United States doesn't seem to have significant eyes on Eastern Ghouta.
That's right. The U.S. interest at the moment is largely confined to northern and eastern Syria, fighting the remnants of the Islamic State. The U.S., both under the Trump administration and under the Obama administration, made a decision to sort of stay out of these more internal aspects of the Syrian war. The United States and other Western countries really have very little leverage in terms of what's going on in Eastern Ghouta. They can protest as much as they like, but really it's Russia that has the leverage to change facts on the ground there.
Raf Sanchez, Middle East correspondent for the Daily Telegraph. Thanks, Raf.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.